Okay, well, today we're going to continue our series we started a couple of weeks ago called I Believe. We spent the last 2 weeks now catching up, helping you catch up today. The last 2 weeks we talked about faith and what it means as a Christian to walk in faith. We know faith is the very foundation of our belief in God. If our foundation is not strong, our house is going to be cracked, right? If you don't have a strong, level foundation, that over time, things begin to go wrong. Your house gets unlevel. You start having doors that won't shut. You start seeing cracks in the foundation. So it's important that we have a level foundation. And upon that foundation is faith. Did Jesus Christ die for the sins of the world? Yes, he did. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him," what? "Should not perish but have everlasting life." See, so he has died for the sins of the world, but it's only received by those who receive it by faith. You got to believe. You got to believe it to receive it. You got to believe he is the Son of the living God. Even though he died for everyone, only those who operate in faith receive salvation. We talked about what faith was over the last 2 weeks, and one of the things that people misunderstand about faith is this, that faith will only bring to me what God has ordained for me. Sometimes we have faith for a lot of things and they don't come to pass in our life. And then we get upset because those things don't come to pass. But as a Christian, when you understand that faith will only bring to me what God has ordained for me, and then when I pray about something and it doesn't come to pass, it's not that God doesn't love me or I don't have enough faith. It must mean that God has got a different plan for my life. And he's got something better. And so faith perseveres when I don't get the answer I want. Now, remember me telling you a few weeks ago that we had this kind of faith when we have Facebook and we get a request from someone we knew 20 years ago, and you accept that request and you open it up and you're like, "Thank you, God, that you didn't answer my prayer 20 years ago when I thought I couldn't live without that person." You know, you'd be scoping out all the pictures and going, "Oh, Lord, thank you for saving me from that. Woo, that life's a mess right there. Thank you, Lord, that I missed that one." You know, we're all right with that prayer not being answered. But sometimes as Christians, we get all in a self-pity party when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think he should. And so faith is saying, "God, all right, if you got it ordained for me, faith will bring it to me. And if it doesn't come to me, then I got to dry my tears and pick my head up and persevere and say, God, you got a better job waiting for me. God, you got somebody better else waiting for me. God, you got something, a better plan, and I'm going to wait for that plan. I'm going to believe for that plan until it comes to pass." Faith perseveres. It brings what God has ordained for me. Last week, you remember me talking about that each one of us are given a measure of faith. Scripture says each one of us are given a measure of faith, and our responsibility now is, how do we steward that faith? How do we develop that faith in our life? It's up to us as Christians to develop that faith. So today's lesson is going to really be giving us, how do we use that faith God has given us? And I want to talk to you today about this. Keep calm and pass the test. All right. Keep calm and pass the test. We're all being tested. Let's pick it up in our text in Exodus 16:4. Remember, God was speaking to Moses and said, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." Now, at this time, we know that the children of Israel have been delivered from slavery. They've been delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, and now they are out on their own. And this is what God says to them. "I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may" what? Let's read that again. "That I may" what? "Test them." Who's testing them? It's God, okay? "That I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my law or not." So God is the one giving the test. I have a 16-year-old son who likes to drive. He likes to drive dad's car. And when he gets his first, gets his license, he comes to dad and says, "Dad, can I go out on Friday night and take your car?" I'm like, sure, here, son, go, right? No. First, I'm like, "You drive and I will ride. And I'm going to observe you driving. And I'm going to see how do you handle the stop sign? How do you handle the stoplight? How do you handle the speed limit? How do you handle passing cars? How do you handle distractions on the road? I want to see how he does." And then after I feel confident in him, maybe I let him run an errand and say, "Son, Dad, I want to go to work and check my schedule." "Okay, take my car. That's fine." He goes to work, checks the schedule. An hour and a half later, he comes home. I'm like, where were you? Well, I went there, then I went to the mall, and then I went by Sonic. I'm like, well, you didn't ask me to go all those places. You asked me to go to work and back. So can I trust you to be where you tell me you're going to be? That's part of me gaining trust. And so over time, I'm gaining trust. When my daughter wants to date somebody, do I just say, all right, go out and date somebody? No. I'm saying, first of all, I'm saying, all right, let's see how you handle this in a group situation. Let's see how you respond when you're around a group of people first. Are you responsible? Are you where you said you would be? Let's go. And if he wants to date you, he needs to go home and pass dad's test first. If he's man enough to ask you out, he's man enough to come and talk to me about it. And if he ain't man enough to come and talk to your daddy, you ain't going out. Sorry. He don't pass the test. Not that I would intimidate him, but I just want to know. I want to know, you know, you'll take my daughter out. You ain't going alone until you spend some alone time with daddy. Right? We do things to test. Coach, when you push your players this season in practice, you're pushing them now in the preseason, you're pushing them hard. Why? Because you want to find out who's all in now before you get into the middle of the season in the fourth quarter and the game's tied. Who can you depend on? Who's going to give every sprint, every time you got it? Who's going to show up to class on time? Who's going to show up to every meeting on time? Who's going to be there, know their assignments, is going to push through when they're hurting? Why? He's testing you now to see can he depend upon you midway through the season when it gets tough. See, God does the same thing in our life. God tests us to say, can he trust us when the pressure's on? Well, Pastor, I didn't know God tests us. I thought it was Satan that tests us. No, God tests us. And I can prove it in scripture. Let's go ahead and look it up in Exodus 20:20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to what? Test you. Don't be fearful to write. It's God who's testing you. Deuteronomy 13:3 says the same thing. For the Lord your God is what? Testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. It's God who is testing us. Judges 3:1-4. These are the nations. Now, realize what's happened here, that the children of Israel have now crossed over into the promised land. They've taken over. The walls of Jericho have fallen. They've taken over their promised land. They've been out in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember all that? A certain group didn't go in because they didn't believe. And so God had to raise up a new generation. Now you got Joshua and Caleb leading the new generation, and they're taking over the promised land. But after they get there, this is what God says to them. The Lord, these nations that are here that are opposing you, it says the Lord let them to test you. All those Israelites who had not yet experienced any of the wars of Canaan. Look what he says for the definition. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites, or children, who had not yet previously had battle experience. And so he left, and he names off the five rulers that he left there in the land. The Philistines, remember the giants? David faced the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidians and the Hivites and all those termites. They're all out there everywhere. In Lebanon Mountains, it talks about how they're all there. Look what it says in yellow. They were left there, why? As tests for Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which were given to them by their ancestors through Moses. Now, what we see here happening is very true, that God tests us. And what we do oftentimes is this. As Christians, we're like, well, Satan's just testing me. Satan won't leave me alone this week. Things just aren't going right in my life. And well, Satan's trying to test me and trip me up. And that's not true. Could it be that God leaves things in our life to test us to see if he can trust us at the next level? Could it be that God is doing things in our life? And he does. God puts us through tests in our life to see if we can handle the pressure. Stop blaming the devil for every test you go through. Some tests. And how do you know? So how do you know if it's a God test or if the devil's trying to trip you up? All right. So, you know, I've taught you about spiritual authority here, that as Christians, the Word of God says that if we resist the devil, he must what? He must flee from us. So as Christians, we know if Satan is attacking us, our family, we have the power to resist the devil, to rebuke the devil, and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, you must leave my family. You must leave me alone. And he must flee from you. So if you do that, and the problem doesn't leave, and it's still there, then all right, God, this must be a test you're asking me to walk through. This must be a test you're asking me to pass. The Lord wants us to pass these tests. If I'm God's child, he will test me, not Satan. I'm not Satan's child. I'm God's child. It's not your job to test my kid. It's my job to test my kid. It's my job to see that they're responsible. Are they going to be able to handle growing up? And I'm going to test them. I don't go out of town for a week and say, all right, here's the keys to the house. Merry Christmas. I trust you. No, it starts off with little bitty things like, I go in the store for an hour. Can you handle it? I come home. Is the house a wreck over an hour? Are you fighting with your brother and sister already? It's only been an hour and a half. Well, on a date night and you come home and, you know, it's only been 2 hours. No, as they prove themselves responsible, then maybe I'll do one night trip. And then eventually I think, all right, I can leave them at home. I can trust them. They've proven to me, they passed the test that they can handle this. I test my children to see how they are growing and maturing and to put them in situations so that I can eventually get there. God does the same thing to us. See, we're made in his nature. He sees us as his children. He's going to test us to see if we're ready. Look at what I put here. Satan tempts me. Satan tempts me for my destruction. Yes, Satan brings temptation your way to try to destroy your life. He wants your marriage to fail. He wants you to be addicted. He wants you to lose your scholarship. He wants you to drop out of school. He wants you to lose your job. He wants you to lose your children. So he's not going to do anything but bring temptation your way that will try to destroy your life. But what does God do? God tests me to develop me. God tests me to make me stronger. God is testing me to see if I can walk the walk and talk the talk. Why? So my faith and confidence are rising so that when I face the difficult times, he knows I can handle it. I've proven myself to be trustworthy. Good times bring peace and comfort. Hard times bring character and growth. Isn't that true? The good times bring peace and comfort, but the hard times, what do? When I go through a hard time, it's a chance for me to bring character and growth in my life. How am I going to respond? See, we mature not by the hard times we go through. We mature not by the hard times we go through, but by the reaction we display during those hard times. Are you getting me? We mature not by the hard times itself, but it's the reaction. It's how we mature. How will I respond? So many people are in this room. They come in and are like, God, I come in this room and this church is so full of people. Man, they just got it all together. Man, they come in worshiping God. And they got a smile on their face. And I come in and my marriage is on the rocks. My finances are struggling. I have problems with my children. And everybody else in this room has got it together but me. Why doesn't God love me? And I'm here to tell you, you're so wrong. Because we're all going through things in this room. Everyone around you has got their own set of challenges. Everyone around you has got their own set of difficulties they're facing. We all face it. God never promised us there wouldn't be trials or there wouldn't be storms in life. He only promises that he would never leave us during that trial. He would never forsake us during that trial. That he would bring peace during our storm. But we go through them. The difference is this, is they choose to react different than you're acting. You want to panic. Ah! My world's falling apart. Ah! And other people's worlds are, they don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. They just know who holds tomorrow. And they've chosen to say, God, I've done this before. I've walked through difficult times before, and I don't know where the answer's coming from, but I do know who holds the answer. And I'm going to keep my head up, and God, I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to worship you anyway through my test. And even when things aren't good, I'm going to serve you. And even when things are getting difficult, I'm going to stay true to you. And I've chosen to react differently. The immature panic and blames everybody else. The mature says, God, I'm going to hold and pass this test. I'm going to walk through this test and show you that I am faithful during the good. It's always easy to be faithful during the good times, right? The real test comes when it's hard. That's when the real test comes. Can I pass the test when hard times come my way? And they do, and they will. This is how we grow. We grow through the testing time. I used to have a professor in college that the first day of college, we walked in, and he said, class, he goes, every week you will have at least one test. He goes, but I'm not going to tell you what day of the week it is. You just got to come ready. How many know that professor was the son of Satan? Really, he was. I think so. If he's listening right now, I didn't mean it. Anyway, I just want you to know. It's what was he doing? He wanted to make sure we were always ready. And it was tough because you never knew. He was just going to give you a pop quiz every week at some point. And so he wanted to make sure that you wasn't doing what everybody else did. He told you have a test on Friday. We don't wait and study until all night Thursday night, right? I didn't do that. Lord, forgive me. I didn't do that, but I heard other people did that, you know. Waited until the last minute to study all night. We've all done that in college. You know what I'm talking about. So he was trying to get us to be ready all the time. And so, you know, it's the same thing in our walk with God, that we never know when the test is coming, but God gives us pop quizzes all the time in our life. When you leave here today, you're probably going to have a chance to have a pop quiz. Sometime this week, you're going to have a chance to walk through a test, and God's going to say, can I trust you to make the right decision? Can I trust you to say the right thing? Can I trust you to do the thing with integrity when nobody else is watching? Can I trust you? And he's going to present opportunities for you to respond to the test. And you can pass it, or you can blow it off and fail it. But God is testing us. So, how do I pass the test? I know you've all asked that question. How do I pass the test? Here's the cliff notes on how to pass the test, all right? So let's see, what was God trying to do? Here in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3, it gives us the outline on how to pass the test. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which I, Lord, swore to your fathers. And then look what he says, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. To why? To humble you and to test you, to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers did not know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So we see three things here that he says, I'm going to test you in. This is how we pass the test. The first thing God says to do is remember. Number one, he says God wants us to remember. He wants to teach us how to remember. He's saying, remember where I brought you from. He's saying, remember how you used to be a slave, but now I put you in freedom. Remember how they used to beat you, but now I've set you free. Remember how Pharaoh abused you and made you work 16 hours a day and fed you very little and gave you the cheapest housing possible. Remember where you came from. Remember that I pulled you out. Remember that I sent Moses to deliver you. Remember that I sent the plagues to prove my power. Remember that you walked out of there and I brought the fire down to block Pharaoh's army. And I opened up the Red Sea for you to walk on dry ground. Remember how I shut the waters back on the army, drowning all of your enemies. Remember how I sent a pillar of fire by night to lead you and the cloud by day. Remember how I sent the water out of the rock. Remember how I sent the manna from heaven to feed you in the middle of the desert daily. He says, remember how I brought you out. This is how you pass the test. God, I remember when my marriage was failing. God, I remember when I was lost without you. God, I remember when I was struggling, full of pride in myself. I remember when I was empty inside. God, I remember how you came and your love flooded my life. I remember how your love came and healed my marriage. I remember how your love came and changed my life forever. I was once a slave to my addiction. I was once a slave to my own pride, who I thought I was. But God, I thank you that you set me free from that person. He says, remember. I passed the test by remembering where God has brought me from. He says, remember to tell your children. Teach your children. And number two, he wants to teach us humility. That's what he says. He said, he tests us to humble us. Remember, we just read that. He tests us to humble us. He wants to teach us humility. Deuteronomy 8, 14 through 18 says it like this. Then your heart will become proud. Not us, right? You must be talking to a different generation. This isn't us. Then your heart will become proud, and you'll forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. and the thirsty and waterless land with his venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known. Why? To humble us, to test you, to humble and test you, so that at the end it might go well with you. Look at the last part of this verse. You may say to yourself, my power. We would never do that. My power. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I did this. He says, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, this is how we pass the test. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce your wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore by your ancestors and is today. Last week we talked about the scripture that says, don't become intoxicated with yourself. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. This is what he's saying right here. Remember where I brought you from. And when you have success, remember it was my hand that helped you succeed. It was my anointing that helped you succeed. It was my hand moving through you. It was my giving you the wisdom. It was me giving you the ability. It was me giving you favor. Remember that all success comes from the Lord. He says, don't be full of yourself. Don't be so prideful that you forget that all success comes from the gifting of God. This is how I passed the test, that God is trying to teach me humility. See, humility must be developed. Pride comes naturally, right? We don't have any problem with pride. That just automatically comes. But being humble takes time to develop. Learn to be a humble person and saying, thank you, my credit goes to God. It's he who helps me succeed. My credit goes to my coworkers, to my family, to my spouse. My credit goes to my teammates. Credit goes to God working in us. Humility has got to be developed. We got to learn. See, difficult times build the character in my life. Look at this statement right here. Victory without humility is empty. Victory without humility is empty. If you experience victory and it's all about you, then when you go home, it's all going to be about you. You don't have anybody to share it with. Nobody's going to want to be around you because you're full of yourself. But when you say, God, I thank you that you give me the ability to win, succeed, to have success in my life. When I do that, God, I thank you that I'm humble. Lord, thank you that you've given me this. All giftings come from you. If you give me anything, God, if you give me wealth, if you give me success in anything I do, it comes from the hand of the Lord. Then I can experience the victory that God has for my life. I'm passing the test. The last thing, he's trying to teach us obedience. Who would have thought that God wants to teach us obedience? Because the problem is this, we are living in a day where obedience is optional. It's about to get real in this room. Let's just keep it real. We're living in a day where obedience is optional. You know, kids, it's optional for kids to obey their parents. Or it's optional for kids to obey their teachers at school. It's optional for kids to obey their coaches. I was talking to a high school coach not long ago from a town close to here. And he was telling me, we're talking about football, and he was saying, you know, he goes, I just simply get into a kid's face and challenge him to do better. And the next thing I know, that kid's walking off the field, and the parents are driving up, coming up in the middle of practice, trying to get in my face and yell at me, who do you think you are, trying to talk to my son this way? I simply tried to make them run an extra lap because they wasn't paying attention and obeying in practice. Next thing you know, they're threatening to sue you and have your job. He goes, no wonder they can't win. No wonder the team is dysfunctional because there's no line there of obedience. I remember a time when my coach told me, he goes, you listen to what I say, and if you don't, I will break my foot off in your backside, boy. And he would have done it. Now, different time. You could have it happen. But how many know? I was thankful. You know, my dad believed in timeout. He did. He said, take a time out, rest, because I'm going to come back and spank you again. You better obey. When I got in trouble at school, that means you got in trouble at home. Remember those days? So when you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home. Now you get in trouble at school, want to go up in front of them. Why are you picking on my kid awful right now? My son is not the problem. You're the problem. The way you teach, we're teaching a generation that obedience is optional. And that comes from Satan because obedience comes from God. And God expects us to obey. It starts with our children. We gotta get our children raised up. What it means to honor those in authority over them. Why? Because we're gonna teach them in scripture that we're supposed to honor the Lord who's in authority over us. And for some adults, this is a new concept. Honor the Lord? What's that? I thought obedience was an option. It's not with God. Obedience is not an option with God. He expects and requires us to be obedient. This is where the passing of the test comes, that we're obedient to Him. He tests us that we learn obedience. I need you to help serve. Well, if I feel like it, I might. No, I think I'd rather just come and sit. I don't want to get up early and come serve in the first service, and then by that time, I'll be too tired for the second service. I don't think I could do that. Because I got to get home and sit down all day and watch my game. You know what I'm saying? I'll be too tired to sit and watch my game if I come early. And so, I'm being sarcastic. You know what I'm talking about. But we use obedience. God wants us what? He wants us to serve. Okay. I need to come to church. Well, I may feel like going to church. But the scripture is very clear. We want to honor the Lord. We're to honor. We're supposed to set a day aside to honor Him. Don't forsake coming together. And if I feel like coming to church, I will. If I don't, then who cares? It goes on and on. Obedience is the test we must pass. God's expecting obedience out of us. We got any Navy people in here? Anybody serving the Navy before? Raise your hand. Let's give these guys a big hand. Yeah. When the Navy builds a new warship and is put out and they load it up with whatever, maybe it's an aircraft carrier and they got helicopters on board or they got fighter pilots on board and they got boats filled with ammunition underneath and boats ready to send out to shore to do battle and they got, 2,000 men on board of the ship. They got a captain given to the ship. They got a crew given to the ship. They got stock with all this warfare on the ship. It's been put out there and it's brand new. Is it ready to go to battle? Can it legally go to battle? No. It can't until when? First, what's the first thing it has to do? It has to be commissioned first, right? Before it can go into battle, the ship has first got to be commissioned. So how does a ship get commissioned? It's stocked with everything. It's been given a captain. It's been given a crew. It's got everything it needs. Then they take it out and they test it in warlike conditions to see if everybody is going to obey the commands of the captain. And the captain gives orders. When the captain on the ship, people are saluting. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Whatever he says goes. And they are going and doing exactly what they're told to do. They respect to the highest that captain. What he asks them to do, they give their life for what he asks them to do. And they get to pass the test before they're ever commissioned to be used in war. But yet, they're out there already. They're full of ammunition. They're full of soldiers, they've got a captain already, but they can't be used until they are first commissioned by passing the test. Some of you are getting that right now. Because some of you are thinking, why doesn't God use me more in my life? Why isn't God, I've got it. I know what to do. I've got the ammunition. I'm stocked up, prayed up, ready to go. But we haven't been commissioned because we haven't pass the test. The captain's giving orders all the time. And we're like, yeah, maybe sometimes on Monday and Sunday, but Tuesday through Thursday, I don't feel like it. And so we stay at dock. We never get commissioned to be used of God to the fullest that God wants to use us. He wants to give us His grace to be used. He wants to commission us, send us out to be used in a great way for Him. But that only happens through being commissioned by passing the test. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I want to just ask you the question. I asked it in the first service, and about 12 people raised their hands today. I simply ask this question. Today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about passing the test. You're talking about faith and believing. The first test I got to pass today is simply say this, that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted Him as Lord of my life. Today, I feel something happening in my heart, and I feel something going on, and I feel like God's calling me to accept Him in my life, to ask Him to be Lord of my life, to forgive me of my sins in my life, and become my personal Savior. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you prayed a long, long time ago, and today you say, Pastor, I've been away from God for a long time, and today I just want to renew that commitment to Him. I want to make it fresh. Nobody's looking around right now but me, and we won't do anything to embarrass you. But I want to just give you a chance to respond. If that's you today, say, I want to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks, guys. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Thanks, guys, for saying that's me. Thanks for being man enough, a woman enough to make that decision today. Several hands going up. We're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. And I'm going to ask all those who raise their hands also to repeat after me. Let's say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life today. Everything I am, I place in your hands. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I believe your son Jesus is the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand. Several hands going up today. I'm going to invite you to join me, all of us stand up and around the room today. How many are just looking at me and say, Pastor, I want to learn to pass my test. I want to learn to pass my test. I see where God is putting tests in my way all week long. Anybody here says that's me? I want to learn to pass the test. Yeah. Several hands going up. We're going to simply close with this song that says, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Let's make it personal, saying, God, I want to learn what it means to surrender my life to you, that I can fully pass the test that you put in my way this week.
And I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Pray for you now. Can I do that? Father, I pray for every person in this room today. The Father, your Spirit is here and is drawing close to them today. And I just pray that, God, there will be a new boldness of faith to walk this thing out. That, God, when we face our test this week, that we realize that, God, this is the assignment you're asking us to walk out this week. I pray that we'll be strong, that we'll be obedient, we'll be humble. And Father, we will develop through the tests that you send our way, that we can prove ourselves faithful, that we can prove that, Father, you can trust us with more of the kingdom of God. God, I thank you that you're raising up men and women in this room who are going to be strong in their faith, who are going to walk this thing out and not run every time they go through a test. But God, instead of running from you, now we run to you and say, God, you are our everything. You are our strength. You are our rock. You are our strong tower. God, I thank you today for everybody in this room. I pray your Spirit gives them boldness, and we say together, amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Say, God, I receive that word over my life today. Turn around and give someone a high five and say, I'm going to pass the test. How about you? Come on, I'm going to pass the test. How about you? God bless you.